Welcome once again to Stuff Smart People Like, the podcast. On the podcast today, we're going to look back at 2011, look forward to 2012, and discuss a little politicking. But first, as always, the introductions. From an undisclosed location in Wisconsin, we have Jordan.
How's it going, guys?
Next, from the Smarty Nation field office in Chicago, we have Dean.
Hello.
I don't get a field office. I just have an undisclosed location.
You're undercover.
Oh, yeah.
And we also have a special guest with us today, introducing for the first time on the podcast, from somewhere in the Midwest, Ben Alexander.
Yeah, hi. I'm actually in Illinois. That's as far as I'll go with that. And I'm a sort of old friend of Ed's. We went to college together, made lots of jokes, had some good times. And now I work in public education, and I work a lot with computers and all that stuff. And I figured I'd like to share my thoughts with you guys.
And we like to have you here on the podcast. And I'm your host, Ed, as Ben already said, broadcasting from just outside the beltway of our country's ever-expanding waistline, otherwise known as Washington, D.C. As you might be aware, a lot's happened since our last podcast, including the beginning of the new year. So we wanted to do a little bit of a discussion today, a little bit of a reflection back and a look forward. And instead of smart suggestions today, we're going to talk about our favorite aspect of 2011 or 2011, whichever you prefer, and what we're most looking forward to in 2012. We'll start with Jordan, then Dean, then Ben, and then me.
Okay, I get to start out?
You do.
All right, so I'm going to go with the Higgs boson research, which, you know, I still don't fully understand, but I know that it's pretty cool, and that it could lead to some pretty cool stuff. Thing I'm looking most forward to is yet another failed apocalypse prediction. So as everyone knows, we have the 2012 end of the Mayan calendar prediction with some, you know, constellation aligning bullshit. Not so much looking forward to that as I'm looking forward to that passing so that perhaps they will stop making really shitty apocalypse movies, as many have come out in the past several years.
What would John Cusack do then?
I think it might be time for John Cusack to just hang up the hat, really. I think his best years are behind him with High Fidelity.
Dean, what was the thing you liked most about 2011?
First of all, I have to, full disclosure, I am a Detroit Tigers fan, but my favorite thing of 2011 was Justin Verlander. I actually got to see him pitch four times this season, which was really cool. Three times here in Chicago and once in Detroit, thanks to Ed, and Jordan was also there. And he was just outstanding. He won the MVP of the American League, and he also won the Cy Young Award, which is the best starting pitcher in the league, or best pitcher in the league, actually.
And what are you looking forward to most in 2012?
In 2012, I'm looking forward to the elections, just because I think presidential elections are more inclusive, and they focus on bigger picture and social issues more.
So you mean presidential as opposed to...
Presidential as opposed to state or local politics, which I think are much more specific and harder kind of to access.
And Ben, what did you like most about 2011?
Well, for 2011, for me, one of the things I really thought was interesting was, at least sort of in a social awareness, we saw the rise of hackers, good and bad. So we saw a lot of hacking being done to circumvent the communication limitations of places like Libya and Egypt. And at the same time, we heard a lot about Anonymous and what was it, LulzSec and those things. So, I mean, it was a very kind of interesting time to see small bands of usually guys getting together and making really interesting changes across the world.
Yeah, I have to say I'm impressed because, you know, my familiarity with hackers it pretty much extends to about the movie Hackers.
Don't knock that.
Yeah, and back then they were still using what 24K modems, so it's come a long way.
Yeah, definitely.
And what are you looking forward to most in 2012?
First of all, the return of Mad Men, finally. It took them a good year and some to get all that straightened out. And so they're definitely making that happen this year. And I will be putting that on iTunes. And if we want to do a Mad Men show, I'd be more than happy to do that. And then on a sort of more serious note, you probably heard a little bit about SOPA, the Stop Online Privacy Act that's been kicking around Congress, and its implications for what is going to happen to the internet. If it affects the U.S., it's obviously going to affect the rest of the world. So I think that's a kind of an important thing that's going to come to a head this year.
So we were discussing before about how little technology knowledge we have. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about was SOPA because so few people were talking about it. So given that you know a little bit more about it, could you give like a brief kind of overview to the listener.
So I'll just make a quick correction there, Ed. I think you said listener, and I think we've established that we at least have two people that listen to this podcast.
Oh.
So it's, now it's listeners. We have,
well, we have 38 reviews on iTunes, which means 38 people have listened at one point. But right. Given the nature of those reviews, I'd say that maybe two of them are listening. So yeah, okay, the listeners. Plural now, listeners.
Oh, there's like one guy who's just really committed and just stuffing that ballot box. Anyway.
Dean. No, I'm just kidding.
Dean. Hey, Dean's, I like, mom. The show. Not gonna apologize. All
right. So back to SOPA. What can you give us a brief, just kind of overview, what the issue is and why people should care?
Yeah, it sounds nice. Stop online piracy. The problem is that it takes one of the sort of safe harbor laws or precedents that we have, where providers don't necessarily have to monitor either their networks or their servers for violating content. And what SOPA essentially does, and this is the primary thing, there's a lot to it. It is a complicated piece of legislation like everything nowadays. But what it does is it will require your hosting company or Comcast or any number of these sort of pipes, as it were, if the internet is a series of tubes, then
it's not a place to dump things.
Yeah, right. Well, what it essentially does is they have to kind of proactively monitor that and stop anything before it gets published or is viewed and potentially violates someone's copyright, which honestly, that's well
just about
everything. Half of the internet. Exactly. Precisely. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything aside from this podcast and a few others, I think would be safe. So,
Well, it's interesting. I think it's such a dividing issue. It's really interesting to see like Google and I think even Apple and a lot of like companies that sort of compete with each other and stuff on one side together against it. And then you have like, basically it seems like movie executives on the other side.
Well, what's interesting, I think, in addition, is this is kind of an old guard, new guard battle being played out in the halls of Congress, where you have a lot of these old, like you said, the RIAA and the MPAA and a number of those other kind of content consortiums who have had a pretty good grip on you know, influence in Congress and things like the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, among others, and all the FBI warnings that you see at the front of a videotape or a DVD. And now you see a bunch of the new guys coming in with Google and Facebook and all these who are saying, wait a minute, this is like our lifeblood now, and we don't want this to go through. So they're kind of coming to a head over it, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, and perhaps you can keep us updated throughout the course of that legislation on the blog.
Sure.
Mine's going to look pretty pale in comparison to that, maybe a little shallow in that I'm just really interested in pop culture mostly. but the thing that I like most about 2011, what should it be? Should we just go 2011?
I think we're at 2011 now.
2011. Sure. Okay.
At some point we have to drop the 2000.
Yeah. I mean, I went an entire year and I still don't know. So I definitely think 2012 sounds better. So, okay, we'll go 2011.
Right.
Was pretty much everything about the HBO series Game of Thrones. And by that, I mean the content, the fact that it's like an adult fantasy show. It's basically Lord of the Rings for adults.
And you like adult fantasies?
I do like adult fantasies, yes. And also just sort of what it means, I think, for 2012. Because I think that 2012 is going to be, you know, if 2011 in movies was the year of the sequel, which I think it was. Is it, you know, like 8 of the top 10 grossing movies were sequels.
It's important to point out at least one of those was a squeakquel.
No.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Is it in the top 10 grossing now? I hope it's not. But
I have no idea.
Oh.
Oh, that thing has rockets on it. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Everybody sees that.
Well, the squeakquel. I think that you're going to see people moving away from that a little bit in 2012. And what I'm most looking forward to is that there's just a ridiculous amount of, like, at least on paper, good-looking sci-fi and fantasy movies coming out. So you have, you know, with Harry Potter winding down and you know, the Twilight series winding down, you have people like The Hunger Games is now going to probably be the new big thing. You have the return to Middle Earth with first part of The Hobbit coming out late in this year. An interesting movie coming out called Prometheus, which is by Ridley Scott, who did Alien. And in some way tied to the Alien franchise, but they're keeping quiet about that.
It's supposed to be kind of like a prequel almost.
See, that's, you know, I thought that at first, but then now when you read about it, they're like, well, they're keeping quiet about how it's related. So I don't know if they've backed off that as it being a true prequel or if it just sort of hints at some of, I don't know. But anyway, it looks awesome. It has an interesting cast. So you have a movie that could be really bad or really good in John Carter. I don't know if you guys have seen an advertisement for that, based on a sort of outdated series of books that from like the 20s, I think, about a guy who was in the Civil War and just gets magically sort of placed into this other planet where he's fighting. It's kind of a little Avatar-ish, but it still looks interesting. So if you're really into that kind of stuff, then it's going to be a really good year for you.
So I love it. I guess going back to the Game of Thrones idea, I've seen the first season, and I've actually just recently finished reading through the books as they stand right now. So I would also recommend the books as well.
And if you really, really love descriptions of food, they're great for that.
Really? Oh, yeah. Never would have figured.
Oh, yeah. Just listing every single thing that's eaten at a feast. It's delicious.
That was one thing that was missing. Point.
But, you know, if you read them, you maybe learn to skip that part or just browse it.
Just anyway. Never get attached to any one character is my only...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Now, there's actually, I think there's a blog dedicated to people trying to create some of the foods from it. I heard that a while back, but I never followed up on it. Trying to create these really just like decadent foods that they eat in it. But if you've seen the guy who's written it, George R. R. Martin, you probably understand why he writes about food a lot.
He is a large gentleman.
Are they like fantasy foods, or are they real foods from like a medieval?
I think that a lot of it is sort of a lot of the draw of it is it's kind of almost based, you know, in some truth, you know, and so I think some of the foods can be replicated, maybe some can't, but you know, some of them are based on sort of medieval foods, but I'm getting out of my area of expertise. I just enjoy food. I don't know much about it.
Because I was really looking forward to eating like dragon eggs or...
you don't eat dragon
something
eggs.
Something like that.
No.
I think I might have found it. I think it's Hot Pie's Kitchen, which Hot Pie is kind of like a cook character in the series, in the books. So maybe we'll put if we remember, we'll put the link on our replay.
You can get cooking. Our main topic today is going to be discussing politics, maybe discovering a little bit too, I don't know. The Iowa caucuses recently happened, so Dean, given that you have such an interest in politics, I thought maybe you would want to take this one.
Sure, I can do that. So as it stands right now, we've just had the Iowa caucuses, and when we're recording this podcast, it's Saturday right before the New Hampshire primary. Mm-hmm. So we have results out for the Iowa caucuses, and a couple of people have left, and a couple of people are, for some unknown reason, staying in the race. So let me just give you a rundown of who we have running in the New Hampshire primary now.
Okay, when you talk about who's out and in, can you do the voice from Heidi Klum from that show? You're out.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
In.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello.
I don't know.
Is that her voice from the fashion show?
Yeah, Project Runway. All
right, let me see what I can do. All right. So Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, is in. John Huntsman, the former governor of Utah and recently served as ambassador to China in this administration, is in. Ron Paul, the former Libertarian Party nominee in 1988, and he is also a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Texas, he's in.
You're nailing it.
You got it.
Rick Perry, who is the governor of Texas and has been since, like the dawn of time. He's been there forever, since 2000. he's in. Buddy Romer, who was the governor of Louisiana and was also a congressman in the 80s. He used to be a Democrat, but he's running in the Republican primary in New Hampshire. So he's in. Mitt Romney, who used to be the governor of Massachusetts and was a big CEO-type fella, he's in. And Rick Santorum, who used to be the senator from Pennsylvania and then got walloped in his last senatorial race, is in. And that's it. That's all we have left.
Who's out?
What about the outs?
Yep. Who's out?
Who's out?
Big one.
So Michelle Bachmann, with a really poor showing in Iowa, is out.
Come on, she had a good 5%.
Oh man, she will not be missed.
Yep, 5% with 6,073 votes.
You switched from Austrian to French Canadian for that last one.
Out.
I was trying Perfect. To accommodate her Minnesota constituents.
Oh yeah.
And Herman Cain, who of course dropped out weeks ago, is out. So let's talk about the Iowa caucuses for a second. First of all, has anyone participated in a caucus
No.
before?
No, I don't even know what that is.
No, I've never.
We don't have caucuses in Michigan, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really cool about it is that people show up at a specified place, and they sit basically around in a circle, and people advocate for specific candidates. And then at the end, they do like a paper ballot where you write the name of your candidate or check off a box and fold it up, put it into a box, and then they hand count everything right there. But it's really cool. And if you get a chance, you know, should check out some stuff on YouTube about it or on any of the news stations. So the results from the primary, because they hand count all the ballots, they can have a definitive result at the end of the night, as opposed to like where they have to count absentee ballots. There are no absentee ballots because you have to be at the caucus. So the results are Mitt Romney with 24.6%, Rick Santorum 24.5%, Ron Paul with 21.4%, and following him is Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, John Huntsman, Herman Cain, Buddy Romer, and surprisingly, no preference got 135 votes, which is more than either Herman Cain or Buddy Romer.
Wow. Good job, no pref.
Yeah.
We have a dark horse.
I like that you can basically vote present in a caucus.
Come here, but I don't know.
It sort of makes you wonder why they would show up.
Yeah. You ever see the movie 1776?
Yeah.
There's like the one guy that's always, it's a musical about the Congress, and there's one guy who's there just like, this great state of New Hampshire, or some, I don't remember what state it is, abstains, like in every vote, right? And so it kind of makes me think of the same thing, like, because you have to sit there for hours and listen to these people talk, right? And then you just say, I don't like any of them, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine that, I imagine most people who are kind of motivated enough to go to the caucus in the primary, like, how do you not have, like, your mind already made up at that point? I'm thinking, like, are you really swayed by those arguments in the time?
Well,
right. Usually these aren't people who are just kind of like the casual voters, right? Because this is like a pretty select group, so.
Right, and that's the sort of interesting thing about our whole political climate is that people were polled like hours before, like 2 hours before the caucuses took place, and some people who were going to the caucus didn't know who they were going to vote for yet.
Interesting.
Well, you know, there's research that says that people say that, but they actually do already kind of know who they're going to vote for. There's a lot of people who say they're undecided, but when it comes down, they don't actually mark undecided. They already have someone in mind, but they, you know, they go there and reaffirm their ideas or whatever. And it's also kind of, it makes you seem a little bit more like you're participating in the process, you know,
right.
If you say, well, I'm really going to listen to everyone and make informed decision, even if you already have a gut feeling about who you're going to go with.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. And it stands to reason that it's no one's business who you're going to vote for. Like, it's none of these pollsters' business. And maybe Iowans just aren't rude people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know. I have just a little anecdotal evidence as well. I used to work in TV news, and getting someone to talk about their actual opinions and feelings was very hard, regardless of, like, you know, what your favorite breakfast cereal is, let alone who you're voting for. So that's kind of one of those things. I think most people tend to be a little bit cagey about it, or they don't really have a very good reason. They just go, well, because my friend said that guy was good, and that's not a good soundbite and doesn't make you sound particularly intelligent. So people kind of refrain from answering.
So here's what I want to do. I'm going to name a nominee, and I'm going to ask you guys for specific predictions about that nominee. So let's start with Ed. Mm-hmm. Ed, what do you think Ron Paul is going to do?
I never really know. He's kind of, you know, he's a little bit of a maverick himself. I think he's going to stick in with it. I made a prediction on the blog that I thought he was going to run as a Libertarian third-party candidate, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think he's going to stick in. I think he's the kind of guy who's just going to stick around, you know? He's going to stay through the whole process. He's going to – till he gets like a very small minority of the vote, and then when he doesn't get the nomination, then he's going to run as a third party.
That's what Huckabee did. He knew that he was done, but he continued through all of the primaries until he was mathematically eliminated.
Well, yeah.
Do you think that's what Ron Paul will do?
Yeah, and I think he just wants to stick around to keep drumming up support. I mean, he's got support of some independents. He's got support of young people. Maybe this is his final year, and he's getting kind of old. So like, he's got to take a shot. And if he's not going to get the nomination, I think some people in his camp will probably convince him to try to move forward as a third party candidate.
Jordan, how do you think Rick Santorum will do?
I think he kind of rides it out a little bit. He might make it through maybe like the next round of 7 or 8. Although, yeah, some of the next, caucuses, primaries, whatever, might kind of put him out. He might have a decent showing in South Carolina coming up. Actually, it seems pulling decently in New Hampshire. South Carolina, he might get some of the kind of Southern Baptist vote. So I think he officially drops out Super Tuesday. That's kind of my conservative vote because that's usually when most people drop out. But no, he's just he's too extreme. He's probably, at least on the with Bachman out, I think he's even more extreme on Perry. He's kind of that far out, and so I think he scares off a lot of independents and moderate Republicans. So
Yeah, he's really into the social issues, and they're saying that's what he was able to drum up in Iowa.
So
yeah, he's kind of out there. And he's not afraid. I give him credit. He's not afraid to say what he thinks.
Oh, no, true. That's true.
But well, sure. And as we all know, Rick Perry is not ashamed to be a Christian.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, Ben, what do you think about Newt Gingrich?
I think he's going to stay in for maybe through South Carolina. From what I understand, the few things I've read about New Hampshire is that it's more or less a foregone conclusion. A lot of the candidates are kind of already spreading themselves out. I think Newt is in it until South Carolina, and he's going to, place, 4th, 5th, whatever, and then finally back away and go back to punditry and blowhardiness and all that.
So. And writing novels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got that great side gig writing novels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't really see too much more. He's just kind of doing victory laps and bothering a lot of people.
And do you think Freddie Mac will hire him back as a historian?
Oh, man, I probably not. But at the same time, I have no idea because, yeah, I mean, once you're in and nobody's afraid to welcome Newt back, it seems like, for whatever reason. So,
right. OK, so the last thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about maybe some other predictions coming for the coming year. So do you guys have any thoughts on either like some surprises that we might see? And these can be ridiculous. You know, are we going to see Newt Gingrich take a new wife?
Start a harem?
Are we going to see Ron Paul win the Americans elect sort of thing, like Jordan was talking about the other day? Yep. And when will Mitt Romney's hair, become disheveled? At what point?
Never.
Oh, yeah.
Cemented on.
Yeah, him and Roy Orbison, those things aren't moving, man.
And Roy Orbison. Is he still around?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I
think
know.
That's correct.
Well,
thank you.
I can take.
I win
take,
the point.
There you go.
Roy Orbison is dead. He's been dead for like 20 years.
Okay. Don't spoil the party.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Your
quick.
Point has been rescinded.
Oh, jeez.
1988.
Well.
So, do you guys have any goofy predictions that you can think of off the top of your head?
Goofy predictions. I guess not goofy. I actually kind of a serious one. I think. Obviously the one about the Americans elect, I think Ron Paul actually will get that. And I'm actually going to go ahead and say that Huntsman's Day is in long enough to be relevant and to be a kind of viable vice presidential candidate choice for probably Mitt Romney.
So you're saying that there will be a double Mormon ticket in a land of mostly Protestant Christians?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that does raise a really interesting problem, especially since a lot of people in Iowa were talking about how they wouldn't vote for Romney because he was Mormon. because they didn't agree with his religion.
They say that, but if he's got an R next to his name when he's running for president, they'll vote for him. But as far as my predictions go, I think that when Perry finally does bow out in his speech, he'll probably use the word fart at some point. That's in the
I sure hope so.
He's just going to call himself an old fart his brain has farted out enough that he's no longer going to be.
Well, he'll have three talking points. You know, this time he'll forget two of them, but one of them will be, oh, fart. That's what I don't know.
I think there's a bold prediction. There's a real possibility.
Well, he asked for ridiculous predictions. So I guess
that's true.
Sure.
I guess the other sort of election predictions, I think there's a possibility that Perry could be a vice presidential candidate for Mitt Romney because he's such an unapologetic Christian. And I think that might play well to sort of that base if they really wanted to. Also, he's kind of dumb, so he'd be great as a VP.
Just keep him, bring him out and have him smile and wave every once in a while.
Yeah, like, what'll he say next? Which kind of what people kind of thought about.
I was turned on by Biden.
Yeah, I know. You're all very, touching yourself.
That's what people thought about Biden.
Yeah, people thought Biden was going to be this hilarious, you know, foot and mouth guy, but he's kind of been boring. But that's a great position to be a vice president. So especially when it's inconsequential, like, you know, forgetting the third talking point of a canned speech.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The silly point I would probably pick was Mitt Romney doing a Roy Orbison impersonation at his victory celebration.
Excellent. Way to bring that back.
So I pay for that.
We're past 20, so I'm past 20 years, so I guess it's not too soon.
Can I?
I'm not going to say, like, bring point. Out his body. I'm just going to pretend to be him.
Ed, you had a point to make.
Well, I don't want to derail this and have this go on too long, but I did want to – you did mention Perry and you know, him still being in, and a lot of people thought he was going to bow out. And I was stuck on the metro today on my way back. That's why we started recording late. And I started thinking about this a lot because I had nothing else to do, and I'm in a city where politics is everywhere. And I wonder – I have a theory to lay on you guys about why he stayed in, and I don't think it's for VP stuff. I don't think it's any of that. I think that he knows he's beat, and I think that what his people told him is like, hey, the Santorum guy, he's getting a lot of the people, you know, the sort of evangelicals, the people who are a little bit more social conservatives, and if you bow out now, he gets your votes. Like, effectively, you know, people who would vote for Bachman probably might choose Santorum now because he's sort of in the Tea Party values and all that kind of stuff. And Perry's kind of in that same camp a little bit. And that might make Romney look bad, or that might make him lose, you know, might draw the campaign out a little bit more. And so I think he's staying in to take one for the team effectively.
I don't know, though, because a lot of the Republicans kind of want someone else besides Romney.
But they don't want, I think you're right. They just have a really weak field. So they, by comparison, they could make him look stronger if he won all of the primaries, you know, and by spreading that vote out a little bit, you increase the likelihood that he'll win, even if it's by 8 votes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if Perry hadn't run in Iowa. What if he had dropped out before even this happened? Not that he would, but what if he had, you know? Yeah. I think if the Republicans are true to their message, they should actually elect Santorum, because have you seen the returns on how much he paid for each vote in Iowa? He got a lot of good – I mean, he spends his money effectively because he picked up a ton of votes not paying very much at all. And so I think if they're really all about, you know, financial responsibility, they should not go with the guy who spent the most money.
And the richest one on the table, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And Santorum doesn't have a job currently in the government, so he has all that sort of time to go to each county in the entire United States because really that's what he did. You know, he had time to spend, not necessarily money.
Yeah, he spends his time traveling around and buying sweater vests.
Sure. Who doesn't like a good sweater vest?
Okay, yeah, so as, you know, it's kind of a recurring theme, we always have some kind of competition game / whatever here. So seeing as how I was, wrongly judged against last week and lost, I get to host this week.
It was a month ago. Give it up.
Never. So we're going to kind of do a trivia on 2000, looking back on 2011, kind of big events in 2011 in our four content areas. So sports, science, politics, arts, entertainment, slash pop culture. And so I've got lists of three questions for each category, A, B, and C, and I've kind of mixed them up. So I don't have kind of like a certain set of questions for each person. You'll kind of get to choose, and we'll mix that up. So it's kind of fair that way. So let's just kind of go from the top, and we'll go sports. And actually, I don't know how we're going to start this. Let's give deference to our guest here. So, Ben, we're going to let you pick A, B, or C.
In sports, man, I'm in trouble. Okay, C.
C. Okay, C, the question for that one is, who won golf's 2011 U.S. Open? Oh,
I have to be honest, I don't follow sports very much, and golf, not at all. So I'm going to say Tiger Woods.
Ooh, that is incorrect. I'm sorry. Was anyone know before I reveal the answer?
It was McGee. Rory McIlroy.
It was Rory McIlroy. You don't get a point though.
Oh, I know. That was actually a guess. I just knew it was one of those younger dudes.
And I think it probably goes to without explanation that you guys shouldn't be on Wikipedia and all this, but I'm assuming you're following the rules. Then I think next I will give deference to the unjust winner from last one, and not Ed, because he screwed me. So, Dean, you get the next choice. You get A or B.
You stay in the closet.
It's true. Justly or unjustly, I won on my merits. So I just pick A, B, or C, right?
Well, now there's only A or B left.
Oh, okay. B.
B is, who won the 99th Canadian Football League Grey Cup?
Oh, man. Oh, this is... Why does he get all the easy ones?
It's so easy. Yeah.
Right in my wheelhouse. I believe it's the Toronto Argonauts.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the BC Lions.
Oh, gotta watch out for the Lions.
I think looking back, I made these questions way hard.
Yeah, wow, those are.
They're not. I do know where BC is, though. Do I get a half a point for that?
I'm sorry.
That's a province or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ed, you get what's left over. Huh?
Oh,
so you get
I get
choice.
The sloppy. Okay.
You get sloppy thirds. Although you probably get the easiest one. So, Ed, who won the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals?
Boston Bruins.
Yes. Ed gets a point.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that was as far out of my wheelhouse as the Canadian Cup was. So I wouldn't have known that either.
Okay. Well, we're moving on to science. And, Ed, I'll let you go first. You have the board.
On multiple choice, it's best to guess C.
Okay. So in 2011, we saw the confirmation release of data of the first Earth-sized planet in a habitable zone outside of our solar system. What is the NASA mission called? They sent this out, a year and a half ago or a couple years ago? So what's the mission called?
Oh, the mission. It's like Kepler or something, right?
It is. Yeah. Another point, Ed.
Wow.
Because the one they found is it's like named Kepler or something. I don't remember what they actually found a few that could be potential, but they had one really good lead, yeah. I guess.
And this was like the confirmed one, I believe.
Woohoo!
Okay, cool. So we're going to go back to Dean now, kind of reverse order. We'll snake it. You get A or B.
All right, I'm going to stick with B.
Stick with B. Oh, good luck. okay.
Ominous.
Name two of the spacecraft that NASA launched in 2011.
I believe one was the USS Enterprise.
I do not believe.
And the other, no. Is it?
That's an aircraft carrier.
Phoenix.
Boldly going.
Phoenix. Also, I don't know how many guesses should I give him, guys.
Give him three guesses.
Give him a few more. Yeah.
Okay, we'll give you three X's before you're done.
Oh, all
right, that's two. Fair. They sent a shuttle up. What was the shuttle called? The Columbia. Nope. I didn't say it. The Millennium Falcon.
Sorry, that is three X's. Anyone else?
I saw that one glance out of Mos Eisley.
Anyone else want to give a couple guesses?
Nope. I saw there was a movie that was like Apollo 13 or something, right?
Apollo 18.
Apollo 18.
Okay, so the ones that I found anyway were the Discovery, Glory, Endeavor, Aquarius, Atlantis, Juno, Grail, the NPO ESS, and they launched the Mars Science Lab.
The Discovery is the shuttle.
Yes, I think it was its final mission, perhaps.
So here's an interesting factoid. Did you know that the guy who discovered Pluto, his ashes are currently on their way back toward Pluto?
Back to Pluto?
Yeah, they're sending a thing out to take a look at Pluto, like an unmanned, drone. What do they call them? Satellite? I don't know, something. And this guy's ashes are on board.
Cool. How disappointed was he when they degraded it?
Yeah, well, he was dead probably. It's 2015 is when it's supposed to go by. But...
Okay. All right. So Ben, you get the last question here.
Jeez.
So this year, it was found that the Wakefield et al. Study that originally claimed to find a link between autism and vaccinations was found to be fraudulent. What journal was that originally published in?
Whoa,
jeez.
Thanks, guys. Let me see. What would that have been in? Can't get a hint. Let's see.
It's a I guess you could say it's a medical term. I don't know if that helps.
What would that be, like the Journal of Cognitive Science? I'm sorry, I'm not really sure, familiar.
All right. It was Lancet.
Ugh.
Oh, that's right. Lancet's kind of
Okay, that's so right. As it stands, we have Ed with 2 and Ben and Dean kind of sitting at 0.
Goose eggs.
Yes. Ben, snaking back around, you get the first choice in the politics category. These might be a little easier.
Okay, we might finally make up for
besides
last time.
Besides one of them. One's actually pretty hard.
I hope that one is not A then, because I choose A.
Oh, this one. Okay. Besides being the last name of a bigoted former senator and current presidential hopeful, what does Santorum mean in slang terms?
Oh, gross.
Yeah, really. This one is in my wheelhouse. this is a...
should we just tell people to Google it?
I'm not going to get graphic.
Oh, we have an explicit tag on iTunes.
Oh,
we're good.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay.
You don't have to be that real graphic, just kind of...
All right, it's the frothy mix of lube and fecal matter after... that sort of thing has happened.
And we
that
just
was
lost
almost
listener.
Word for word.
We just lost a listener.
We might have gained a few too. Who knows?
Wow. Seriously, that was almost verbatim. How did you know?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Frothy mix has kind of been a meme. Okay.
Okay. All right, stop it. Stop it. Let's move on.
Moving on.
Okay. So, Dean, you get to choose between B or C.
I'm going to ride B all the way home.
Okay, what was Herman Cain's pizza franchise called?
I believe that was Godfather Pizza.
That was right, and that was just a superb impersonation there.
Great accent.
Thanks. That was my Herman Cain.
Okay.
Oh, that was Herman Cain doing. Okay.
Ed, you actually probably get the hardest one here.
Well, that's deserved.
So. We just talked about Super Tuesday. How many states hold a primary or caucus on Super Tuesday within one? So you kind of have like a three cushion here.
Oh, geez. 12.
Ooh, you're wrong. No, actually, that is within one. I'm sorry. It is 11, so got it.
Woohoo!
So,
yeah,
wow.
Well done.
I don't think Ed can lose, actually, well. But we still need to find
I'll throw the last one for dramatic effect.
So this one is arts and entertainment. Ed, you get first choice again. These ones are all really hard. So C is what was the 2011 Grammy Awards Album of the Year?
2011.
Yes.
The Suburbs by Arcade Fire?
Oh, yes.
That's nice.
Correct.
Oh, nice job.
Well done.
Oh, man. This closet gives me super strength and super knowledge.
It's his thinking closet.
Dean, you get A or B?
I'm sticking with B.
Okay. I'm going to give you within 3 years. How old was Elizabeth Taylor when she died in 2011?
Oh, gosh.
You got like a 7 cushion here.
78.
Wow, you actually, it's 79.
Good job.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And aren't her and William Shatner the same age?
William Shatner, I believe, is 80.
Yeah, even a little older, that's right. Which kind of blows our minds still, but yeah.
Okay, so the very last question, Ben, you need this to force a tiebreaker with Dean for second.
Okay.
Which duo was panned for their perceived terrible hosting performance at the 2011 Oscars?
Oh, man, I had such a good time watching that, too.
It wasn't perceived.
No, it was pretty bad. James Franco and Catwoman.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is. Should I give him that one?
No, it's I give him that one.
Close enough. Okay.
And it was Halle Berry, right?
Ooh, geez.
Okay, we have a tiebreaker. So a tiebreaker between Ben and Dean here. Okay. And my tiebreaker, since we're kind of talking about the election today, going back to politics. How many votes were cast in the 2008 general election? Kind of closest to. Give me a something point something million.
Wow. Who goes first?
Ben, we'll give you honors because you're our guest. Thank you.
Okay. Boy. I would say something point something million. Cow. Can I defer?
if you want to.
I'll defer.
Okay. 26.5 million.
Okay. And Ben.
Let me go on that.
The 2008 presidential election.
Okay, 2008, and Barack Obama won. It's a pretty good turnout that year. And I'm going to say 35 million.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay, I want to... Do you guys know what the population of the U.S. is?
Yeah, but we also know that half of that population is under a certain age, and then only a few of those vote.
Okay, if Ben gets it, because he was the closest to 131.3 million.
That's a really good turnout.
It was a good turnout. No, it was.
Yeah. Okay.
Obama had
Ed wins. Ben wins the tiebreaker for second place, and then Dean, I'm sorry, you are kicked back to third.
Wow, I think this is retaliation from the previous podcast.
It may have been,
but then he would have targeted toward me because he hates me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would have been the obvious thing to do.
He thought you were going to pick C the whole time. All right. I think it's time to close out the podcast. We are we're toying around with this idea of having a mailbox. So please give us your questions, your comments at our Facebook page, Stuff Smart People Like. You can do it on the blog, stuffsmartpplike.blogspot.com. You can get us on Twitter at smartpplike. And we have a Gmail address, stuffsmartpplike@gmail.com. So, send us your free offers and Viagra subscriptions, all that kind of stuff.
People want to write us a letter in the mail.
We don't have a P.O. box yet. I'm working on that. We'll get that set up. Maybe we can do it at the field office in Chicago. I don't know. We'll figure it out. How about the blog? Anything interesting in the pipeline? I know we've been kind of away from it for a while because of the holidays and such. But Jordan, you started your beer thing. I thought that's got a good reception.
I'm going to go to reception. Yeah. I'm going to be keeping that. I think I'm going to make it kind of weekly and maybe sometimes twice a week. We'll see. And kind of we'll just go with the flow.
Isn't there a certain number of reviews you have to go to meetings, right, at a certain point?
If I start releasing about 7 reviews a day, I would maybe start to get a little worried.
Anything? I think I'm going to work. I've been working on a Groupon post. I'll keep that a mystery.
I got some news for you on Groupon.
Oh, what you do?
I had a job interview at Groupon.
Interesting. Well, I'll get to you on that. Anything else, guys? Dean is working on some sketch comedy, right?
Yeah. And, I'll let everyone know, when that goes up.
All right. Oh, and, we still are trying to come up with a charity that if people like the podcast, they can donate to through us. We have a post on that on the main page. If you want to select a charity, to nominate a charity for us to consider, we'll consider all submissions. That's until January 31st. Well, we hope you enjoy this. I would like to thank you, our one listener, for accidentally clicking subscribe So thank you for that, and we will see you next time on Stuff Smart People Like. We're out.